All right. So if you have your really probably better than your paper Bible is your phone. If you got a Bible app, I would recommend that. So the wind's not blowing your pages everywhere. Unless you want to just do it, then you go for it. But Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 16, is what I want us to look at today. We are postponing the next sermon in 1 Kings until next week when we're back in the sanctuary. And so we're going to be in Mark chapter 1 this morning. And then next week we'll pick back up in 1 Kings. But Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 16. If you're unfamiliar, just go to the table of contents. It'll tell you where Mark is. And just turn there. That's the first chapter. And so it says this. As he passed alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew. This is talking about Jesus as we're passing by. He saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, Jesus told them, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat putting their nets in order. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And so one thing that was sticking out to me this week, just looking at this text, is that when Jesus called these guys to come for the first time, to come and follow him, something was coordinating with that, or something came along with his call to follow him. And if you look at the text up here in verse 17, what does he say? He says, follow me, and then I'm going to do something with you. I will make you fish for people. I'm going to make you fish for people. So following Jesus brings along with it the idea that you are going to be made into someone who fishes for people. And so when Jesus called these people, he started with the mission first, which is kind of interesting because for many of us, when we think about evangelism, sharing our faith with other people, sharing the gospel with other people and calling them to believe in the thing that we say that we believe in, is incredibly difficult for many of us, and me included. It's incredibly difficult. Like when you think about it, and your heart's like, you're like, I feel like the Spirit is telling me to share the gospel or share Jesus with someone, and my heart's like racing, and like I'm like, I don't know if I could do this or not. And so we think, well, I don't do it that much now, and so I'm gonna eventually get there. I'm gonna grow into it when I learn enough, or when I know enough, or when I'm spiritual enough. But here's the thing that Jesus teaches these guys from the very beginning, because these guys are starting out their faith in Jesus at the very beginning. He says, follow me. And immediately he says, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to share your faith. You're going to become a fisher for people. That's what he calls them to do. Evangelism is not something that you grow into or get to one day. It's not something that you grow into or develop into one day when you know enough or when you've developed enough spiritually. Jesus began the relationship with this mission up front. Now, we were talking at the man meeting on Tuesday night, my group that I was in that night. We were talking about the idea that we think, okay, if once I attain a certain age or once I attain a certain stature, then I'll finally take my faith seriously. Or then I'll finally share the gospel. Or then I'll finally do this thing for Christ that I know that he wants me to do, but I don't feel like I can do it yet. And so, like, one day I'll finally get there. This, I remember when I was a teenager, me and I met with some guys, and we would do accountability stuff. And I remember thinking, we would talk about this, like, one day when I get married, I'm no longer going to deal with lust problems anymore. I remember we were discussing that as teenage guys, and then Brent Lightsey told us, yeah, that's not real. That doesn't happen. Like, when you get married, all of your sin struggles don't just magically disappear. That doesn't happen. And so we were thinking, there's this magical line that I'm going to approach, and one day when I cross that magical line, then I'm going to take my faith seriously, or then all these spiritual problems are going to fall away. But here's the truth that we learn as you grow up. There is no magical line. There is no line that you're going to finally attain. And then, like, once you reach this, then at that point, you're going to be emboldened to go share your faith, share the gospel with people. There's no line. And so what Jesus is teaching these guys is that, listen, if you want to follow me, here's what comes along with it. This is what following me looks like. You are sharing the gospel with other people. And so he's saying, you either care about this today or you never will. You're either going to put it into practice today or you never will. There is no magical line. That's what he's getting at. And so I thought this was kind of interesting about this passage, because when he says, follow me, he says, I'm going to make you into fishers of people. So when you say yes to the call or the invitation of Jesus, you're saying yes to the mission of Jesus. That goes together. There is no getting one without the other one. That's like what Jesus is calling us to. And so for many of us, if you're listening to this, and me included, as I was reading this, that can feel a little daunting, honestly, because for most of us, when we think about sharing the gospel, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, and then the call to repent of our sins and then believe in him, when we think about that call, it feels scary. It feels scary. And so I was reading an article this week by a guy named Matt Queen, who's a professor at Southwestern Seminary right over here. But it was in a magazine, and it was an article talking about evangelism or sharing your faith. And it was the most helpful thing in the world to me, because he starts answering all these questions in ways that were so attainable, ways that were just so practical. And so it starts off, and basically the rest of this is I'm going to tell you his answers. None of this is from me, it's from him. But he talks about, one, what is evangelism? Like, if we think about it, like, I feel a need to evangelize, or I feel like people are telling me I need to go evangelize because of my faith in Jesus. Well, what is evangelism? Evangelism is sharing with someone else about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That is the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins and he rose again from the dead. And now he calls everyone to repent and believe in him. That's the gospel. And so evangelism is sharing that good news with someone else. And the goal then is to lead other people to become disciples of Jesus, who then go and share the gospel of Jesus. That's what the goal is. And so that in and of itself, okay, helpful. But that creates two fears within us. The idea of going out to do that, it creates two fears. We have two objections. One is that we fear that we don't know enough to be able to go and do that. Or the second one is even more threatening to us, is that we fear that if I do this, it'll be awkward. So these are our two main objections to sharing our faith or to evangelizing. One is I'm scared that I don't know enough. And two is I'm scared it's going to be awkward. I don't know how to get the conversation from point A to Jesus. I don't know how to do that transition. And so I want you to see this. Number one, you don't know enough. That's our first objection. Well, I want you to see Paul's method of evangelism. Turn in your phone or your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We actually looked at this chapter last week, but we're looking at a different section here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, and here's what he says is the gospel. He says, "For I passed on to you as most important what I also received." Listen, I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Paul just said this. What he heard and believed in was the thing or the message that he went and shared with other people. So like the thing that you believed in is the thing that you share. So Matt Queen says this in his article. You, if you believe in Jesus, if you believed in the gospel, do not need evangelism training. You don't need it. When you believed in the gospel, that was your evangelism training. The very thing that you say that you believe is the very message that someone else needs to hear. That's what he's saying. It's like, it's so helpful. So if you heard the gospel and believed it, that's what someone else needs. But Paul tells us, okay, well then what is this gospel? What is the thing that I believe? Just as a refresher. Look what he says here in verse 3. I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That is Paul's summary of the gospel message. And why does he include buried in there? Because it proves he really died. You don't bury someone. Like, you don't, if you're faking it, you don't have someone bury you in the ground for multiple days and just like then come back. No, no, it really happened. He died, was literally buried, and then literally rose from the dead. That's the summary of the gospel message. That's what makes everything so important here, because Jesus rose from the dead. Is that it means everything he said was true. We talked about that last week. And so when you heard that message personally, when you personally heard that message and you believed in it, that was your evangelism training. That's the message that someone else needs to hear. So here's the second thing. This one is immensely helpful to me. Our second objection, and this is the one that grips me a lot, because here's the deal. I know that gospel message. I teach it every single Sunday. But the one that stops me in sharing my faith is this second objection. I'm scared that it'll be awkward or that it'll change my relationship with this person. That's what I'm fearful about. And Matt Queen answered this, and it was so helpful. And I was like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Because here's what he says. He points this out. You and I have zero problems talking about the things that we really want to talk about. So when it comes to the gospel, more so it's a question of desire rather than you don't know how. So it comes down to whether you really want to share the gospel or not. I'll give you an example. Raise your hand out here if you've ever heard me talk about road cycling. Raise your hand. Now, keep your hand up if you care about road cycling. It's me and Christopher. That's what it is. Now, how many of you think that I care whether you care about road cycling or not when I talk about it? When I talk about road cycling, I know that none of you care. I understand that. Like, I know that not one person in this room besides Christopher Naya cares about road cycling. I care. Yeah, that's right, man. But when I'm bringing it up, I don't care because I love road cycling. Because I love road cycling, I'm going to bring it up and talk about it with you guys all the time. I am going to, for the rest of my life, I'm going to try to get Justin Smith to go riding bikes with me. Even though I know every day for the rest of my life, he's going to tell me no. It doesn't matter to me. I want him to go. And so I'm going to bring it up all the time, even though he has no interest in going. Why? Because I care about it. I find it fascinating. I find it joyful. And I want to share it with you guys, even though I know no one's going to respond. The same thing is true about the gospel. Do I care about whether you think it's awkward that I bring up road cycling? No, I don't care that you think it's awkward or if you think it's awkward. That's not a concern of mine. Well, then why do I not feel the same thing about sharing the gospel? It's not a matter of whether I can do it or a matter of I don't know how to do it. You will always bring up the things that are most important to you. And so you can do it. It's within you. It's a matter of desire, not a matter of you don't know how. So let's say you feel like the Spirit is telling you, man, I feel like I need to share the gospel with my waitress at Uncle Julio's, or I feel like I need to share the gospel with my next door neighbor that we've had three conversations total since we moved into the house 3 years ago. But I've got a heart for this person and I need to strike out. I just don't know how to get there. Like, I desire to do it, but I don't know how to get there. Matt Queen is so perfect. He gave me two examples of transitions that he uses all the time. And so I read them both, and I was like, that's so simple. And so I went and tried them out. I used them both this week. The first one is this. It is the, oh my gosh, it's so simple. I'm like, how did I not think about this? He says, one of his go-tos is this. If he wants to share the gospel with someone, he turns to him and he says, has anyone taken the time today to tell you that God loves you? Oh, here's how I know he does. Boom, Jesus died for your sins, buried, rose again. Now he calls you to respond by faith. Man, that took 10 seconds. And he did it. It's like just easy transition. So this morning I went to Starbucks just a second ago. And I was like, well, if I'm going to teach this method, I need to have done it. And so we were in the drive-thru. And I was in the drive-thru. And the girl, I was like feeling my heart. And I'm like, oh, I need to share the gospel because I need to try this out. And I care about this person. And so we're in the drive-thru. And she's there. And she's in with talking with a friend. And so I couldn't like immediately jump in. Like, hey, listen. But as she hands me my drink, I was like, hey, has anyone told you this morning that that Jesus loves you? And she's like, no, thank you. You know, and just kind of just started brought it up. And you know what happened? No one blew up. Like, no one died or anything. And she smiled about it. And she might have made fun of me when she turned around, but I don't care because I was already gone. The second one is this. It's simple. Has anyone taken the time today to tell you that God loves you? Here's how I know. The second one, let me give you a second one. Have you heard any good news today? Yes or no? I don't care what your answer is. Because, well, that's awesome. I've got some good news for you. Boom. Getting right to it. So there was a guy who drove up here this past week on Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday. And he was parked out here. And as I was leaving, I was going to go home. And I saw him, so I stopped, and I was like, hey, man, you okay? You need help? He's like, do you work here? And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, perfect. You're who I need to talk to. I fly model airplanes. And so I was looking at your field. I was like, do you care if I fly my plane in your field if I get FAA to approve it? And I was like, we don't own that field, so you can do whatever you want. But then when I told him, I was like, by the way, have you heard any good news today? He's like, well, I tried to. I was like, well, God loves you. And Jesus died for your sins and rose again. He's like, yeah, man, awesome. I heard that. And so, cool, man. Well, have fun flying your plane. Just, that was it. And it was so simple just getting to the conversation by just those two simple transitionary, like, I'm not beating around the bush. Like, we talked about this. Brent brings this one up. But I was talking about it in the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Like, you don't have to be a weird guy. Like trying to like backdoor Jesus into the conversation of like, Brent brings this one up all the time. And I think it's hilarious. He's like, oh, you love baseball? You know, the bat's made of wood. You know what else is made of wood? The cross. Like, you don't like, that's weird. You don't have to be the weird guy. Don't be weird for Jesus. Just be like, hey man, I know some good news and you probably need to hear it. Because Jesus died for your sins and he rose again. Like, so has anyone taken the time to tell you that Jesus loves you today? Or is anyone like, or have you heard any good news today? Man, it's easy transitions to get to it. And when I read that, I was like, this is the most helpful thing in the world. And so all, in this, when Jesus calls us, when he calls you to believe in him, he said, come on, follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher for people. He's going to do it within you. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you upon your faith in Jesus. And that Spirit wants to lead you, to develop you, to become a great evangelist for the sake of Jesus and his kingdom. He's wanting to do that in you. It's not above you. You have the message that's necessary to share. When you believe in the gospel, that is the message to share. You have it working in you, in your heart. So this is not above you. It's not above you. It's supposed to be who you are. And I know it's difficult. And so I don't intend for this. And I don't want this to be a condemnation. I don't want you to hear, you need to do this. You're not doing good enough. No, no, no. I want you to hear God is working in you. And he desires to work through you. And the method of doing it does not need to be difficult or as difficult as we make it to be in our heads. What he's saying is you have the words of life living in you, And he wants you to share that with other people in our world. Now, last thing is this. As we consider evangelism, we think, wow, there's a lot of people in the world. And I can't go to every single person. And I don't know exactly who to share the gospel with. I don't know how to get to where, like, I'm sharing at Starbucks and I'm sharing at the people who drive up my street and I'm sharing. Like, let me give you one piece of advice on this. Don't start with everyone in the world. Start with one. Start with one. But what I mean by that is this. Think, or have the Spirit lead you to think of one person that you know does not know Jesus. And pray for that person. And then look for opportunities to share your faith with that person. That one person. That person will be your focus. That is your one person. And so start with one. Don't start with everyone. And so I pray that you are encouraged by this, that you've been to feel some sense of pull, but also some sense of like, oh, I feel better equipped by the word of God to be able to go share my faith with other people. And so as you consider who is your one person, let me pray for us. We'll have the band come up.